Hi everyone, this is Asiel Altaeva, and welcome to another episode of the FEMES Finance Podcast, where we explore the journeys of successful female leaders, founders, and investors from across the globe. We aim to champion women leaders from diverse sectors and industries in order to inspire you in your journey to financial freedom and career success. Thank you for listening to the FEMES Finance Podcast. Hi, Alice. Welcome to the FEMES Finance Podcast. I'm so happy to see you today.
Thank you so much, Ashil. And it's a pleasure to be here. I'm so happy to be interviewed by you.
Amazing. So before we start the episode, can you please briefly introduce yourself to our audience?
Absolutely. So my name is Alice and I am British Chinese. I was born and raised in London and my whole life lived in England and moved to South Korea 4 years ago. Then I worked my way through working for a very large media agency, then brand side at a fashion brand, working for them doing digital marketing. And then I had a little eat, pray, love moment and decided to quit my job and go backpacking in Southeast Asia. Best decision of my life. It changed everything completely from there on outwards. And I got the inspiration during backpacking for 7 months by myself that I really wanted to learn more about the world. I really wanted to bring people together through different cultures and bring about more harmony between people who come from different backgrounds. That was something that I felt very passionate about. So coming back home to London after 7-8 months of being away, I started my own business in a cultural subscription box that was all about Korean culture and Korean products. And so that was a very fun journey, running that bootstrapped with my sister, with a very small team, trying to take on the world, shipping our boxes to 80 countries around the world to K-pop fans, essentially, all throughout 2016 to 2022. I've worked for multiple startups. I am a startup mentor. I've done a few accelerator programs and been able to have the privilege of meeting many, many smart people. I've networked a lot and learned really in my own way how to move myself forward in my career. And so, yeah, and now I'm working with Social Table, which is an app that brings people together through curated dinners. And I feel very strongly about connecting with people and creating genuine moments and meaningful conversation. And so it all feels like it's come to a head. And now I am doing something I really love. So yeah, I'm not sure if that was too long of an intro, but that's in a very short space of time, who I am and why I'm here today.
Amazing, Alice. Can you please briefly elaborate on what is exactly Social Tables and how do you connect people together?
Yes, absolutely. So Social Table is an app and it uses an algorithm to curate dining experiences for the guests on the app. And so it's an invite-only app. The community is very much protected and allows people to join based upon their backgrounds and interesting things about themselves. It will match you to someone that has something in common with you through a very nice themed dinner. So let's say we are startup entrepreneurs in Korea, we're expats, foreigners. It will match you together with someone that has a very similar common thread with you. But also we prioritize diversity in terms of where people are from and what kind of industries they're from. As long as there's some common thread that you guys can have a conversation over, it will match you into small groups of 4 to 10 people for a very nice evening of conversation. And usually networking events run pretty large, usually 50, 100 people plus. And some people find that very overwhelming. I think networking events can be really good for certain things, but sometimes it can be a lot, very chaotic. It can be loud, can be a lot of exchanging business cards, but actually not a lot of meaningful conversation happening. So Social Table is really there to provide a deep and intimate time where you can be relaxed and enjoy an evening with people that you're most likely have a genuine connection with. So we really care about having the right conversation and the right place at the right time. It can change your life. So all you have to do is turn up and have a great time. And check us out on Instagram as well with socialtable.soul.
Great. So now let's go to talk about networking. So in terms of business and career advancement, there is a saying, it's not what you know, but who you know. Can you please explain us why is networking so much important?
For sure. And this is something that I did not learn at all until quite later on in life, way into starting my business. So I'm introverted. So my MBTI is INTP. And so I remember when I took the first MBTI test, I think I must have been 80% introverted. So I honestly love being by myself. I have no issues hanging out by myself, having very limited social time with people. And I had a lot of social anxiety as well. I think whenever I see crowds of people, groups of people, parties, I don't tend to like those types of environments, at least not growing up. I was very shy. So networking was not something I liked at all. It wasn't something I ever prioritized. And it wasn't something taught in school either, or anywhere in my sort of professional and educational career. I never felt like that was something anyone emphasized on me, that this is something you should learn to do, or this is something that's really important to, in order to succeed in life. But, a couple years into running my business, I did start to realize some things. And that is slowly, slowly, I realized that I can't do this all myself. And, there's a saying that it takes a village. And it really does, because, in life, whether we're talking about professional career or just personal life, in every aspect, you do need people's help. And you can try and do everything by yourself, and that's absolutely fine. And that's, one way of doing it. But in order to maximize our chances of success, I really do believe, and I think a lot of people believe this too, you do need good people in your corner and in your network. And especially when it comes to entrepreneurship, especially when it comes to building out a successful career, knowing the right people is so important. And opening one door can allow for multiple doors behind that door to open, as long as you open that first door. So my philosophy is always to try to connect to as many people as possible. And this will never end. This is a lifelong thing. You can never be fully networked. You can never be done with networking, in my opinion. And so the kind of opportunities that were available to me when I did no networking, it was next to zero, because I was just doing what was inside my own little bubble. And the possibilities for that is very, very finite. Turning point for me was when I won a place on Techstars, the Global Accelerator Program. And Techstars is 90% about networking. They do in the first month, so it's a 3-month program, and Techstars has programs all over the world, I think 40 different cities. So it's very well known, and it's all about power of the network. And in the first month, you basically meet as many mentors as possible. They schedule the meetings for you based upon your company, your background, and who it is that you could potentially benefit from meeting. And the first month is called Mentor Madness, because you will go crazy meeting so many mentors. And in the first month of Techstars Korea, that's the one that I won a place on, we met over 100 people in a month, and we spent 20 to 30 minutes with each mentor. So that was on average around 5 meetings a day. And that's just on top of the meetings that we had to do in terms of our business meetings. We were stretched to the very max when it came to networking. And that month, I changed so much as a person. I learned so much, and it blew my mind how conversations with other people, and the right conversations with interesting, smart people, just inspired us so much. It stretched our horizons, it broadened our mind. And so I think that month I really saw in a very accelerated way how networking can really change your life. And since then, it's been something I prioritize. And so I can't emphasize enough what it can do for you. And these people have become my personal friends, professional acquaintances, and genuinely could not be here today without having those connections and all the doors that have opened since then for me to come to each of the different opportunities. It really comes down to having that first step of putting yourself out there. So I think it is the utmost important thing in life to try to achieve, and I can't underestimate it enough.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. So most of our listeners are young women studying at university. Can you please give us some of the, effective strategies for networking and connecting with the right people?
Yeah, right, for sure. So it may vary depending on which stage of life you're in and which stage of your career you're in. So as generic advice for young women out there, especially those who are studying, I think number one, you need to really know yourself, and that takes time, and that's something that will continuously happen through life. So it's quite a broad wisdom, but I think learning who you are and how to sell yourself, and more importantly, is really the key to networking, the first step of it. So know, you know, what it is about yourself that you are trying to put forward, put across. And if it helps, you know, make it an exercise, spend 2-3 hours and get out, you know, pen and paper and write some things and points about yourself that you would like other people to know. And it's not about bluffing or lying or, you know, that kind of thing, but it's definitely about putting your good points forward, and it's about framing. So writing bullet points on who you are, what you've achieved, and what kind of value you can bring to other people, try to take those bullet points and frame it in the best possible way. Frame it in a way in which someone who is higher up in their career than you and seems to be a little bit less reachable, think about it from their perspective. Why would they want to talk to you? And there's always something. And wherever you are, if you're just starting out in your career, there's going to be points about you that are impressive and going to be cool and interesting to talk about. So definitely learn how to sell yourself. Learn how to, in a very short space of time, elevator pitch, if you like, how to sell yourself. Like, who am I? What do I bring to the table? What makes me interesting? What makes me a worthy person to speak to? Knowing these things in advance is very, very useful, because you may, in networking situations, on the spot be asked, you know, so who are you? Tell us more about yourself. And you need to have a good way to sell yourself. The second thing is, I think, is definitely LinkedIn. LinkedIn is my best friend. I use it every single day and I'm always updating it. There is never an end to updating LinkedIn. And I'd say that definitely make the most of the LinkedIn profile. I see a lot of people who surprisingly don't use LinkedIn or have it barely filled out. And that doesn't look good when it comes to professional networking. When someone adds you on LinkedIn, you want to be able to have your profile picture, your profile in like 1 to 2 paragraphs, what's the most impressive things about yourself, your latest job position and what you do there, what you've achieved, etc. So LinkedIn is your social kind of credibility and proof. And then I'd say the third thing is to learn your ecosystem. So who is in your ecosystem and how do they connect to one another? So for example, in Seoul, we have a very different ecosystem here than compared to my home in London. How do people connect in Seoul? You know, usually it would be through coffee chats. And coffee chat is a term that I learned when I came to Korea, because usually you just say I grab coffee, but you know, here it's called coffee chats. But essentially it is just grabbing a coffee with someone. And that's the fastest way to get to know someone in person and to build rapport, to build a relationship and to build trust. People don't just randomly DM each other. People don't do cold calling in Korea. That's not, you know, a thing. It's trust is very important. Referrals and, you know, warm introductions is very important here. So, you know, learning how it works in where you live and in your ecosystem is really important, because you will then have to strategize how to connect with people, whether it's through warm introductions or whether it's cold calling. Learn what works best and how other people do it, and then start trying it out and start doing it and see where you go with it, and see how, you know, what is your response rate. But I'd say in terms of what works and what's worked for me, I think it's really just three things. Just demonstrate that you have the potential. So someone higher up than you, they don't need to know that you're really high level or that you're someone that matches them. That's really not what they're looking for. They're looking for potential. And so if you can demonstrate that potential, either through your LinkedIn or through any other way, evidence through online or in person, I think showing that is one thing. And then having a genuine attitude. I think just being a genuine, nice person really goes very far. So showing that through your conversation with them, if you're approaching them for the first time, you know, just be genuine. And the third thing I'd say, because now I've started mentoring startups, I really enjoy talking to people who have the willingness to learn. And I think this is a very important trait, is if you're someone who is looking to gain mentorship or you're looking to learn from the people who have done it before you, just demonstrate you have curiosity and inquisitiveness and that you're willing to learn from them. I think that, you know, most people would be super happy to talk to you. So yeah, definitely don't be intimidated by people that are seems to be above you, but definitely just be a genuine person, be willing to learn, demonstrate your potential. And I think that will go very far.
May I ask you how to invite high status people for coffee chats? That's the first question. The second question that I'm really interested to know is how to go after this connection. So you met this person, you connected with them, you showed that you have a high potential. How to build a meaningful relationship after this, making this connection?
For the first part of the question, I do have a story that just popped up in my mind. And so this really depends on which part of your career you're in. Of course, I had been working for a while at that point. I'd been in Korea for about a year and a half. So I'd already done the accelerator program, already ran my own business. But I did try to reach out to someone much higher up than me. And this is a senior vice president of a huge conglomerate in Korea. I won't say which one, but it's someone that everyone's heard of. They have like 30 brands under their umbrella. You could say that it's a dream to work there for a lot of Koreans and foreigners as well. So this person is a senior vice president, literally one step down from the CEO of this massive conglomerate. And I'm just, me. I'm just someone that's worked for startups. And so I reached out via LinkedIn and I did a cold message. And this was at the point in my career break where I was in between jobs and I was very, very focused or a little bit desperate. I was trying everything to look for a job and I didn't do any form of job application because I've always gotten a job through connections before this. Hence why I say this power of networking is really attested to. So at this point, I was reaching out to everyone and anyone I thought would be valuable to talk to. And I'd say I was gamifying it really in my head. I was just trying to every day, just reach out to as many people as possible. There was just not even a number I was trying to target. I was just going as much as possible. So I cold messaged this senior vice president on LinkedIn, as I did with a lot of other people, just, product managers, HR managers, whatever it might be. Any way to get my foot in the door of a company that I wanted to work for, I was doing it. Surprisingly, in fact, shockingly, I got a reply from the senior vice president, and she said, "Hey, Alice, it's great to hear from you. I've just looked at your profile. Definitely interested in having a chat. Do you want to come by our office and have a coffee chat sometime?" And I said, "Wow." I was just shocked that this worked, and so I replied right away, said, "Yes, we agreed on a time," and I went to their office, a beautiful, stunning building, and she met me, and she and I had so much in common because we seemed to be a similar age. We had a lot of background in common where she spent a lot of time abroad, and she's Korean, but she's quite a foreigner as well. And we connected over many things. And I think this is where being likable and having a genuine attitude really helped because I was not on the career level that she was on at all. But she saw something in me because I updated my LinkedIn profile. I put all the best things about myself on there. She saw it and she saw potential and she decided to take this chance and have a coffee chat with me. And then during that conversation, I was on my best behavior, trying to be as likable as possible, but as genuine as possible. I wasn't trying to oversell myself or try to reel her in any way. I was just trying to be myself, but amp it up to as magnetic as possible. And so during that chat, she said to me, "Alice, look, I have actually never done this before. I've never been reached out to on LinkedIn and replied. I've never had a coffee chat with someone that reached out to me in this way before, but it seemed like an interesting connection. So I'm really happy that we met today." And so I was shocked because I thought maybe she's someone who does take these meetings. Maybe she's someone that does do these things. But actually, it's the first time she's ever accepted a LinkedIn request like this. So I would honestly say, because of this story, try anything and you might be surprised. So don't think that anyone is too high up or too out of reach and too inaccessible. This senior VP replied to me and we had a chat and we've seen each other 2 to 3 times. And she came to London at the same time that I was there. I took her and her husband out for dinner. We've stayed in contact. I didn't get the job in the end because it wasn't the right timing for me. But I can say that I have an acquaintance, a contact, and even, maybe even a friend through making a decision like that to just try. And so I would say that, yeah, nothing is off limits. Definitely, it's worth a shot and you might make it in the end. So I would say that that is definitely a story that has a lot of example in it. And then the other thing is how to connect to high value people and how to build that relationship with them. So I think working on conversational skills is definitely something that we should all invest more time in. So I actually watch YouTube channels and listen to podcasts that are specifically about how to be engaging, how to have a good conversation, how to hold yourself during a conversation. And this thing called energy exchange, which I'm very fascinated by, which is when you're having a conversation, having that balance of listening to someone. Having good listening skills and adding value through, what you say is really important. So learning how you come across and learning how to hold yourself in a conversation in which you have an equal give and take is really important. So that's something that I'm always consistently working on, as well as, how to get the attention of someone so much higher up than you. Once you've got that attention, how do you continue to build on that rapport? I'd say that in Techstars, we learned one thing, and there was a principle that was called give first. And this principle is about not asking for anything in return in a business, in a business context, but always trying to give first. And this was 100% the mentality of everyone on all the programs that I've experienced through Techstars, all the mentors, all the organizers, and people that work there. They were always about giving first. And once you have this give first mentality, everyone becomes so much more generous and everyone becomes so much more open to helping. And then that then fosters more generosity. So it only compounds. If everyone is giving first, then suddenly there's so much giving and so much giving, and then there's some taking. But the point is everyone should try and just add value first. And I'd say that is principle I stick by as well, is whenever you're having an exchange of conversation, there's always a value you can try to give. And at least if you demonstrate that you're trying to add value, if you say at the end of the day, look, I really enjoyed our conversation today. I really appreciate your time. And if there's anything I can help with, please just let me know, because I'm happy and I'm here, and I'm open to it. That in itself is enough for that person to know, oh, this person is genuine. They want to help. And actually, if I can think of anything in the future, I can reach out and I'm comfortable to do so. And people who are higher up in their careers, they already have a lot of experience with dealing with people, and they will appreciate that you have made this first move. So it's not always going to be an equal exchange. It's not always going to be a give and take. But people who are higher up, oftentimes they really enjoy being mentors because it gives them a lot of fulfillment and satisfaction, and it's very rewarding. So sometimes they will give a lot to you and you won't be giving a lot back. But as long as you give that good impression that you are someone who is aware that you're taking and you are benefiting from this and that you appreciate it so much and you're there to give back to them anytime, that is quite often the give and take, and that could be enough. So I think having that mentality of give first is really important.
Great advice. You've mentioned about YouTube series and podcasts that you listen to in order to improve your conversational skills. Can you give us some, some suggestions of YouTube channels or perhaps podcasts that our listeners can listen to?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a very interesting person on YouTube. Her name is Ariel New. That's ARIELNIU. She has such great quality content, and she talks a lot about energy exchange, how to be confident in yourself and how to keep flow in conversation, how to be a better listener. And she also talks about very interesting things that I don't really hear a lot of people talk about, like how to be a balance of sharp and soft with confidence. Sometimes we go too sharp with our words and we're a little too snappy because we're confident. And sometimes we're too soft where we're feeling a little bit insecure and we're not really in our best element. So we always oscillate between the two, but being able to strike a balance and go sometimes a little sharp and then sometimes a little soft is important to notice the polar differences and be able to balance out that yin and yang. And if you can command someone's presence and you can keep them engaged in a conversation, it's actually really, really important when it comes to business. So I really recommend her videos. They taught me a lot. And other podcasts that I listen to is probably Diary of a CEO. I do listen to his stuff every so often. And I love Simon Sinek. Anything Simon Sinek, I'm just in love with. He's a motivational speaker and he also has written multiple books, which I highly recommend. And so, yeah, I would look at those resources and see what works best for you, because everyone has their own way of, you know, aligning and resonating with certain content. But find what works for you and always be looking to develop yourself personally, I think.
Yeah, that's a great advice. So when, for example, sending connection request or sending a message to someone, how they should frame a message?
I think in sales, I don't have that much background in or experience in, and I definitely know what doesn't work, which is because I'm on the receiving end of it. Sometimes on LinkedIn, you know, we've all had those messages before where someone's trying to sell us some kind of software demo, or you know, they'd like to have a 30-minute conversation with us to pick our brain on something. And it really feels very transactional. And I think that's where people get turned off, is when you're clearly asking for something from someone and you're doing it in a very jovial way, you're friendly, but at the same time, you're just trying to get the job done. And the other person can feel it because you are just trying to get that thing from them and move on. And so that I would shy away from personally, because I don't think it's a good technique. I definitely appreciate that salespeople need to do certain techniques to get attention and to get the conversion rates, and there's a pipeline that they need to stick to. But, you know, I'm sure there's lots of sales techniques out there that people can research. But for me, it still comes down to being genuine and being open to learn. At the same time, yeah, the connection request thing is interesting, because on LinkedIn, there is a definite character limit. So you can't type, you know, a whole life story in there. And so, you know, I think it's 200 characters or something. And I've experimented with so many ways of wording something so that I can encapsulate what I want to say before it cuts off. And I think a few things I've noticed works. Keeping it very brief because of the character limit is obviously key, but putting the most impressive thing about you in as short of a space of characters as possible in the beginning of the line of the message is, I found, very useful. Because people on LinkedIn, you know, whenever they get a connection request, and this is something for me as well, when I get people trying to connect with me, if I don't know who you are, if it's not somebody that I've met before, I often am curious as to why they would connect with me, because they don't leave a note at all. So why should I accept your connection request? Because you haven't said anything and I haven't met you. So I don't know why people do it. But it's really best practice to leave a note if you don't know that person and you're connecting with them for a very specific reason. So the note should say something very impressive about yourself to get their attention. Because you don't know them, they have no reason to pay any attention to you. At least give them something that they'll be like, oh, interesting, this person sounds cool, let me look into that. And they just have to accept your request in order for you to send them more. Have a hook, I'd say. Definitely introduce something very cool about yourself. For me, it's usually I'm a British born in Korea, right now living and working, and I did Techstars twice, and global startup founder, would love to go for a coffee chat, or would love to connect with you to discuss more. And usually I would open with a bang and then end it with, would love to connect in order to discuss more. So to give them the idea that there is more to say, and I've got something to present to you, or something to come to you with. You just need to accept the connection request so that we can talk more. So it's almost like a trailer. You want to keep it short and sweet, but give the best parts of yourself, and also keep the curiosity at the end for, you know, there's more to come. Check out the full movie kind of thing. I'd say that connection request is literally a trailer for yourself and what you can bring to the table. So make the most of it.
So my next question is about conferences, how people should be prepared for those kind of meetings and how to make the most of those meetups.
Yeah, for sure. And then I literally threw a dinner last night for influencers and creators in which this very question came up. Someone attended our dinner. She's an influencer, foreigner in Korea, has been working on her content for a while. And it was her first ever networking event in her life. And she came very nervous. She asked me, how do I make the most of this event? Because I have never been to one of these before, and I don't know what to expect. And so I thought about it for a second, because I don't get asked that question a lot, because I typically surround myself with people who network all the time. And, you know, I go to a lot of networking events. But for sure, it's a great question, because how do you know where to start if you haven't done it before? So I would say a couple things. I would say, you know, going back to what I said earlier, definitely know how to sell yourself. And someone is definitely going to ask you at some point in the evening, tell us more about yourself. What do you do in Korea? What is it that, you know, you're working on? Tell us more about your job, your career. Just have it in your mind, the spiel that you want to present to people. And it is definitely being a salesperson for yourself. Conversational skills, again, going back to that, you know, you're going to be meeting lots of people. All of them are going to be strangers. You're going to want to build rapport with them, make them feel comfortable. You're going to want to know how to keep that flow of conversation of listening and adding value and listening and adding value. And the other thing is, prepare for these events. And so if you can, check out the guest list. So on Social Table, you can see the guest list of all the people that are coming, and you can click on their profile. You can see what they do, and their LinkedIn profile if they've shared it, Instagram as well. Definitely check out who's there and potentially have some things in mind that you'd like to talk to about them, you know, with them. And so yesterday we had a very unique gathering of models, entertainers, we had actresses, we had content creators, YouTubers, Instagrammers, very big journalistic style YouTube channels, and people starting their own businesses. So, you know, very diverse range of people, but with each one, you know, from every perspective, perhaps there's something you want to say, perhaps there's something you want to ask, there's something that you want to gain insight on. So going with a curious mind and arming yourself with a little bit of background knowledge goes a long way. Definitely going up to someone saying, hey, I saw you on the guest list. I saw that you're an actress in Korea. So how has that been for you? And how do you book your jobs? And what has it been like, you know, living in Korea and doing that as a career? Having that approach to a conversation rather than just going, hi, nice to meet you, my name is, and you are, and, you know, it's an awkward start for everyone. It's going to be that way. But if you have the second question coming in from, I know roughly who you are, and it's okay to get it wrong. It's okay. I've gotten it wrong multiple times. You know, I think someone is someone else because I've got so many names in my mind, but just being able to laugh it off and say, oh my gosh, yes, of course. And please tell me more about yourself. You know, bringing that person back to, you are focused on them and you're interested to know more about them, it definitely is key for me in terms of socializing. So hopefully that all makes sense and is helpful.
Yeah, that's absolutely great advice. I think that's pretty much the end of our podcast. What is the last advice for young women that you want to tell?
With the lessons that I've learned and the kind of advice I've been given, I definitely think it's never too early to start networking. So I, for sure, regret starting late in life. I wish I started earlier, and who knows where I could be by now if I had started earlier. So I think starting early and being a nice person, I think that goes a long way. Ultimately, at the end of the day, networking is trial and error. You're going to meet good people. You're going to meet people you probably would want to avoid. There's going to be green flags. There's going to be red flags. And you don't know how to handle those situations until you've been through them. And so, yeah, everybody has to learn for themselves what works. But if you try to maintain a genuine attitude throughout it, I don't think you can go too far wrong. And I think just always be eager to learn and update your LinkedIn, seek out the podcast like this one to listen to always try to learn from those who have been before you. And I'd say just as a last tip for introverts, just because I feel very strongly about, you know, networking for introverts can be really difficult. And I've met a lot of people who are very shy as well, who find it hard to come out of their comfort zone. I'd say be aware of your social battery. And that's something that I'm constantly learning, is how to make sure I am replenishing myself, because we can't always be out all the time doing networking. It's going to drain us. And so I do this thing, which is my social battery forecast. And so when I'm booking meetings in and looking at my calendar, I really try to put my mind forward to that next week, whether I will have the energy to do all those things, because it's all well and good at 10 a.m. You know, you're having your coffee, you're feeling great, and you're booking in those meetings next week and you're doing them back to back. Think about whether you can handle it at the time, you know, in the future you. I tend to do that now, and I'm very aware of my social battery and where my energy is going. You know, put it where you think is worth it. And sometimes certain events are not going to be as worth your time, and it's okay. So as time goes on, you'll learn what works for you. And ultimately, yeah, just be genuine and have that attitude of being willing to learn. And I think that will get you really, really far. So I'm excited for this podcast and where it goes, and educating the women that listen to this podcast. And I hope the best for everyone listening, that they will go on their journey and learn loads and be able to inspire people in the future as well. So yeah, I'm very, very grateful for this opportunity. Thank you, Ashil, for inviting me on. And I hope that it's been helpful.
It was super helpful. Thank you so much, Alice, for finding a time and joining us today and sharing so many wonderful advice for women on how to network online and offline. It was so amazing, and I hope that our conversation will inspire them to expand their network, to meet the right people, and to progress in their career or business journey. Thank you so much, Alice, for your time. It was amazing.
Thank you so much, Ashwell. I so appreciate it. And yeah, I hope the same. I hope that this inspires people to listen more and reach out to me anytime. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm very happy to connect. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Femmes Finance Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform, such as Spotify and iTunes. Thank you for always supporting us. Enjoy your day.